welcome to the new series on loans and interest. Before we start every series, we always read the disclaimer. The material that we're going to discuss in this year is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide any legal or halachic advice or opinion. This is not a substitute to obtaining competent halachic and legal advice from your rav and your lawyer and consequently you should not act on the basis of these shiurim without such advice. That goes for the whole series. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Leila Nishmas Shalom Ephraim Ben Avraham Moshe, whose yahrzeit is Thursday. She is close for him. And without further ado, we'll start the first mini-series. So this year will be on the halachot of loans. We'll start with the way it goes. The obligation to lend, what do you do in the middle of that loan period, and how do you end a loan, how does the loan get paid up. Those are laws we'll start with, and after that we'll get into the laws of ribis, laws of interest, different factors that apply to all loans. And we'll start with the case that you saw in the email. Now Shabbos Aveda, even though it was only like 10 simanim in Shulchan Aruch, there were 5 separate Sforim on Shabbos Aveda that we used last year. Halva is Rov of Shulchan Aruch. Choshen Mishpat is Halva. Halva is, like most of the first Chedo Choshen Mishpat, most of the second is Tom Yunitan paying up a Chovitz, 100 simanim maybe of Halva. And there's only one sefer I've seen so far that just goes on the halachas of halva. And you shouldn't get nervous, even though we did 36 shiurim on Shabbos Aveda, it doesn't mean that we're going to have 360 on halva. We're going to talk about the main topics, practical topics that happen to the day-to-day life. And we'll try to limit it to a handable portion of shiurim that we can do it on. So the case that he talks about, this Hava La'ar Ha'alofa, his case was something that happens very often. Someone had received a commitment, Reuven had received a commitment from Shimon to have a loan for $50,000, and based on that, Reuven went and purchased a property, got a mortgage on it, because he knew he would have this $50,000 cash in order to buy merchandise to sell in the store, and he went through advertising expenses to promote the store, and at very last minute that $50,000 loan fell through. Shimon said, I'm sorry, I don't want to give you the $50,000. So the question of the night, does Reuven have any recourse to force Shimon to give him the $50,000 loan? He was depending on it, and well, let's assume it was written in a contract. There was a contract that he was going to get that loan. The papers were drawn up. And the last minute, Shimon decides not to. Can he force him to give him the money? And if he cannot, can he at least get compensated for the loss that he incurred by his expectations that he will get that loan? Because he spent money on advertising, he's bought this property, and he's going to have to sell it at a possible loss, and the points he's going to have to pay for it, the settlement costs that he's going to lose. So does he, number one, just can he force the loan? Can he force Shimon to give him the money for the loan? And if not, does he have any rights to compensation? We'll start reading the tour on the second side of the handout. Kasav HaRamban. The Ramban has this very shayla that we're discussing. It's interesting, if you look in the tour is quoting the Ramban. The Ramban's really also found in the Sefer HaTrumos, who quotes the Rimigash, and then he puts his opinion. He says, I wrote the Ramban a letter, and the Ramban wrote back to me, and this is the tshuva that the Torah is quoting, the letter the Ramban wrote to the Sefer HaTrumos. We're reading the second side of the handout. Kasav HaRamban, the Ramban wrote, Reuven sheis nadeg lahavas l'shimen mana. If Reuven committed himself to lend Shimon a mana, $100. Barmelo, and Reuven told Shimon, I switched the names from my place. Barmelo and Reuven told Shimon, Lech l'sofer, go to the sofer, and we're going to learn that you shouldn't make a loan unless you have it in writing, unless you have a contract. We'll talk about that the shiur after next, probably. And so he told him to go to the Sofer, let him get witnesses, that they will write the star up and they'll sign it. Shatochayli mana that you owe me a mana. Misoyli ashtar ve'elvecha. Hand me the star and I will lend you the money. And Shimon did what he was told. Halach, he went, behavior lo ashtar. He brought the star. Kosin shashanino, like we learned. Kosin star lelov afbi shein malvi imo. Alova, the borrower, is able to have a star written, commissioned for him, even though the mala is not there. Normally, if you have two parties making a contract, they both have to be there for witnesses to sign that they saw that transaction made. But the rule is, a borrower who has no interest in saying that he owes someone money, unless he really does, is allowed to have a star written for him, even though the malva, even though the lender is not with him. Right? So Reuven had told Shimon, the borrower, go get that star written for me. And Shimon went and had the star written based on this halacha that you're allowed to write a star for the lova even though the mav is not there. And ba'achrika chazer ba'Reuven. And when Shimon brought the star back to Reuven, Reuven said, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. So the Ramban says like this, im hayamode Reuven, if Reuven would agree, shemidaito nichtav ha'star, if there's no contest here whether it was done or not, everyone agrees to the facts that Reuven says, I agree, I told Shimon to write the star, but I just changed my mind now. Something happened, I changed my mind, I don't want to give him the money. Im hayamode, my daughter got engaged, I needed to make a chasana. Im hayamode Reuven, shemidaito nichtav ha'star, if Reuven will agree, will admit that he told Shimon to write the star, this is the consideration he gets. Since Shimon's property is meshubah to him, right? Since he has a lien on Shimon's property, when you write a contract, we'll see soon when, at what point, when Shimon writes a contract that he owes money to Reuven, at that point, since it's a loan with a contract, all his property now becomes meshubad. Reuven has a lien, has a shibud on Shimon's property. So since Reuven now has a shibud on Shimon's property, or another way of saying it, since Shimon is giving over his property to Reuven, at least he's giving over a lien on his property to Reuven, so based on that consideration, Chayev lahavos adzman shekavala, Reuven is committed, he's obligated to make the loan according to what he had stipulated. That is what the Ramban paskins. Right? What right does Shimon have to demand a loan? Because he gave Reuven something. What did he give Reuven? He gave Reuven a lien on all of his property. So in return on the lien on Shimon's property, Reuven now has a commitment to give him the loan. And another way of saying it is like Shimon sold his property, sold a lien on his property to Reuven, and now Reuven has to pay him for that equity, that rights, those rights that he purchased, that he now has. Reuven now has a right, a lien on Shimon's property, so he has to pay for that. In return for that shibud, he has to pay money, which is the loan. So that's the Ramban. The Torah is quoting the Ramban, that the Ramban says, in return for a shibud on Shimon's property, Reuven has to pay the loan. The Torah concludes, Ve'enon Yira. I don't think it's right. Shebeksivas hashtar, Enon Yira, Shebeksivas hashtar, Yischai lahavas leval karcho. I don't think that because you wrote a star, that forces Reuven to lend against his will. Reuven still has the money. Because you wrote a star that I owe Reuven $50,000, that forces Reuven to give me the money. The Torah just concludes, it doesn't seem like that's the right halacha to me.
You don't know him until you got the money.
Right.
Not only that, but the idea of the lien is to make sure you get paid back. If you have the money, you don't need to get paid back. So,
we'll see that soon. And let me just finish up the dissenting view here. Beis Yosef brings the Rashba, and this is going to be, we'll talk about it, I'll focus on Ban and Rashba. The Rashba says, also, the Beis Yosef says, the Olam Malvi Al-Kolasov, the Malvi can change his mind till the very last minute. And he proves it from this very Gemara that the Ramban used. That's how we have a halacha, that you can write a star for a love with a malva not there. Because the Rashba says, if the rule was that as soon as I have a shtar that says, I owe you $50,000, so I can write that shtar without you being here, so whenever I want money, I'll just write a shtar, I owe you $50,000, here's the shtar, you have to give it to me, because you have a shivat on my nechasim, and now I have to give it to you. So that's the Rashba's raya, that you, there can't be such a halacha that until you get the money, you can't force him to give you the money.
It's so hard to hear. Those are two separate issues. First, you have to have a meeting in the minds.
Right.
And the Ramban set it up. It was noted.
Right.
And he agreed to
right. So, but what do you do with that halacha? What do you do with halacha that you can write a star with the mava not there? How are you going to know that there's always a meeting of the minds?
Presumably, you wouldn't be able to. You could write the star when the mava is not there, but you wouldn't be able to force it unless you had a
dog. Okay, that's one way the Rishonim answer it. Another way, which is maybe a more radical shot, the Rima Gash says that this rule of Kosvin Shtar the love, that you can write a shtar for the borrower when the lender's not there, is only when the borrower writes in that, and I already received the money. Right, where the shtar says, I received money and therefore I owe $50,000 to the lender, that's when you could write, because then what are you afraid of? He's going to force him to take, he says he already got the money. But if, Ein Hakinami says, if you, there is such a problem according to Rimi Gash. Others, I think, Sefer Tumas gives this answer, like Natali saying that, you're right, you can write the star, but you won't be able to force him to give you the money unless everyone agrees that there was such a deal made.
Okay,
so we'll go and get there. We'll get there. Let's just see the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch's passings like the Rashba, the love of Shabbat, the Besen, the love that comes to the Besen, the Shtar Chov is in his hand still, Lichbo says to Malva, Alvos, and he wants to force the Malva to lend him the money, Adzman Shekova for the period that he had agreed upon, Afil in his Barish, and Midasa Malva Nicht, even though we all agree that the Malva said you could write that Shtar, Yochel Lachzer, but he can change his mind. Right, now why is he changing his mind? And that's, if you see the Nesivus says that there's two types of shtaros that you could write. Right, the machlokus, the Rashba and the Ramban, is a machlokus like this. The machlokus is, the Ramban says that, and this is the way the Achronim say it, the Yisrael Chanan says it like this, so this is the way the Achronim say the machlokus. The machlokus is, the Ramban says that just like if I give you my land, I give you my property, I'm selling you my property and now you're living there, you have an obligation to pay me for it because you're living in my property, you took it from me, you made a kinyan, and now you have to pay me. So same thing, if I give you a lien on my property, that obligates you to pay for it. How do you pay for it? It's only a lien, so it's not yours forever. So you pay for it by giving me a loan for the term that you agreed upon. That's the way the Ramban looks at it. The shivut, that was his lashon, the shivut forces, that lien forces me to give him the money in return for that lien. The Rashba says there's a difference between liens and sales. If I sell you something, if I'm selling you a karka, so then I say, look, in return for the karka and consideration for this land that you now own, you have to pay me the money. That was the deal. You give me the merchandise and I get the payment. But you don't have any such halacha that if there's a lien, even though there is a lien, let's say the lien is already in place, I'm agreeing to that you have a lien on my property that you can collect from me, but until I actually get the money, I can't force you to give it to me. Now, how can you have a lien in place if I haven't gotten the money? Well, that's what you've been asking. And that, in the Siva says that there's such a thing called a shtar afnaisa b'metzia. Dr. Gimel talks about a document that has a kinyan in it. You can write in a document that as of now, as of the time of the writing and signing of the document, at this point, my property is already meshubad, my property is already bound to, you have a lien on my property for the time of the writing, even though I haven't gotten the money yet. You can have such a shtar. And even before you give that document over to the malva, the shivut is now in force. That's one type of document. You have another type of document, another shtar, another contract that doesn't have that in it. The contract is when it's just like a proof, or when you get the money, I'll give you a proof, and that's when the lien takes place. So the Nesiva says that this machlokus, the Rashba and the Ramban, will depend on the case, will depend on what type of contract we're talking about. if it's a contract that has a kinyan written in it. So then he says, even before the contract is given to the malva, according to the Ramban, the lova has a right to force the malva, look, at this point you already have a lien on my property, I can force you to give me the loan. The Rashba says, you can't, because just because you have a lien, you can't force me to give money. It's only by a sale you can force me, not by a lien. If it's a type of contract that does not have a kinyan in it, so then the Ramban would not say that, you know, that would be ridiculous already. You know, there's no lien, and because I wrote a shtar up, you know, a contract, so now I can force you to lend me money, like the Rashba asked. But once I gave you the contract, now you have it, and everyone had good intentions. I was planning on lending you the $50,000, and I have the contract, but now just something came up, and I changed my mind. Here, take the contract back. I'm sorry, rip it up. I'm sorry. And you say, what do you mean? A deal's a deal. You said that you were going to give me the loan. I wrote the contract. I gave it to you. At this point, the lien is in place, and I'm going to force you to lend me the money. Those would be the two cases where they're arguing. But once again, the argument is, there's no argument unless there's a lien in place already. Once there's a lien in place, the question is, and you're right, he doesn't actually end up giving the money, so he can't collect from it. But once he has a right for that lien, but you can own land also, and you didn't use it yet. Right? Once he has a right to a lien from the contract, whichever type of contract it is, at that point, the Ramban says, you can force him to give you the money, and the Rashba says not. The Shulchan Aruch, apostles like the Rashba, we'll see other Rachbonim want to say the Ramban isn't someone to be dealt with lightly.
The Shtar that's mentioned more, is that where there's a kinyan, they're selling something?
We're talking about a loan. We're talking about a loan there also. So if you find a Shtar Chov, can you return it? So how can you return it? Maybe they'll collect and they'll kuchas or something. There was a kinyan in it already. It was a valid thing. So at any rate, that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. The Aruch Shulchan says, So the Shulchan Aruch, by the way he puts his case, he's saying that the lova has it in his hand. The Shach points out, even if the shtar already went into the hands of the malva, since he's possibly like the Rashba, we don't care that the malva has the shtar right now, and now the shibud, that lien is in his hands. It doesn't make a difference. Until he gives the money, he has the right to change his mind. You have no right to force me to give you money. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Rashba. The Ramban says, once there's a lien in place, you can force the loan. The Aruch HaShulchan also agrees with the Shulchan Aruch, with the way the Rashba is saying. He says, even if you made a kinyan, suppose, let's make a kinyan that you're going to lend me the money. Even that's not going to help, because until I give you the money, you have no right to force me to give it. Even though I said I was mishaving myself, I committing myself to give you the money, but I changed my mind. You can't force me to give it to you. Is it right for me to change my mind? That we'll talk about next week. But even if it's not right, and it could be that it is right under certain circumstances, you can't force me to give you that loan if I change my mind. To try to sharpen the machlokas, let's discuss one of the rayas that are brought. That's the Gemara B'Metzia. The Shach wants to support the Rashba with the following Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, we spoke about this Gemara a few years ago. Hashoel Kardem Echaveiro. If someone borrows a hatchet from his friend, and they agree that they have rights to it for 30 days, and the normal halacha is, if you borrow something for a certain amount of time, you have rights to it for those 30 days. Whatever the term was agreed upon, you have rights to it, and the owner can say, look, I changed my mind, I need it back now, look, I'm sorry, you said I could borrow it for 30 days, I have rights to it for 30 days. So the halacha is like this. Bakabo, if once he started chopping wood with it, so then he has a kinyan in it. Lo bakabo, but if he didn't chop wood with it yet, lo kano, he doesn't have a kinyan in it. So one wants to know what Rav Huna is talking about. Lamai, what's the nafkamina, what's the difference whether you have a kinyan, whether you acquired this hatchet or not? Elam alonson, if we're talking about when you're going to be liable for anything that happens to it, right, we learned that a borrower is responsible for anything that happens to the item that he's borrowing, even if it's something that's unavoidable. If you borrow someone's car, no matter what happens to the car, unless it's mesa machs melacha, it just dies from the motor wearing out, you're responsible to pay. So if you say that the responsibility starts when you start first driving that car, when you first start using that hatchet, that's not true. Maishna Parah. Why should a Parah be different? The Mishnah says, Mishah She'ela, as soon as the cow enters your possession, even though you haven't used it yet, you're now responsible for anything that happens to that cow. Ella, rather, the Nafkamina is L'chazara. At what point can the borrower, can the owner say, I don't want to lend to you anymore? So Rav Huna says, Baka Bo, once the borrower chopped it with that hatchet, Lo Matzah Hadavei Mashal, the lender can no longer, the owner can no longer change his mind. Lo Baka Bo, but if he didn't use it yet, Matzi Mashal Hadavei, this is Halacha L'maisa, the lender can say, look, I'm sorry, I need my hatchet back, I can no longer give it to you for those 30 days. But that's the Gemara. So Gemara is saying like this, as soon as I get the hatchet to borrow, I'm responsible for anything that happens to it. I'm a borrower, I'm a shoyel. As soon as it enters my possession, some say as soon as the owner walks away, even though if I haven't made a kinyan on it, we've talked about, but certainly once it enters my possession, I am now responsible for anything that happens on it. And another way of saying it is that you have a lien on me, that if anything happens to this hatchet, you have a right to collect my property for the loss. Even though you had that lien on me, though, you're allowed to say, I changed my mind, I want my hatchet back. So the Shach asks, according to the Ramban, why don't we say, since at the time you put the hatchet in your possession, you have now given the owner a right to collect your property if anything happens to it, he has some rights over you now. If anything happens to this hatchet, you're going to have to pay for it, and he has a right at this moment. But still, what the Gemara says, he's allowed to change his mind. Why don't we say, according to the Ramban, that since he has these rights, since you gave him the right to collect from you, if anything happens to the hatchet, you have the right in return to force him to stick to his deal of lending it to you. Like that's the Shach's Raya to the Rashba. This, the Machlokas to Rashba and the Ramban is, does a Shiva, does a lien, does my giving up a lien on my property give me the right to force you to take your side of the deal? So if the Ramban says it does, why isn't my lien, you have a lien on my property now, if anything happens to it, as soon as the hatchet enters my possession, why doesn't that force you to lend me the hatchet? Right, that's the kasha of it. Now the Achronim find all kinds of answers to defend the Ramban. First of all, I mean, the Shach doesn't. The Shach says this is one of the reasons why I agree with the Rashba, and the Shach himself passes like the Rashba at the end. It seems that's why he's Machriya. But the Ktos has a different chiluk. The Ktos wants to defend the Ramban by saying there's a difference between the case of a hatchet and a case of a loan. He says like this, it's true that according to the Ramban, when I have a lien on your property, I am now obligated to fulfill my side of the deal and give you the money for the loan. Right, that's the way it works. If you give me a lien on your property, I have to give you the loan, just like if you give me the property for a sale, I have an obligation to pay you for it. But he says, what is the obligation to pay? Let's say you sold me the property, you sold me the land. If you sold me the land, what's my obligation to pay you? That's because I have a chiyuv. I have an obligation to pay for something that I acquired from you. I acquired this land from you. Now I have an obligation to pay you for it. I acquired a lien on your property, not your property itself, but a lien on your property, so I have an obligation to give you a loan. But by an axe, if I say I'm going to lend you an axe, so in that case, even though now I have a lien on your property, if anything happens to it, I'll be able to collect from it. But there's no lien, then there's no obligation that I have to lend you an axe. I don't owe you an axe. If I have your property, I owe you money. If I have a lien on your property because I said I would lend you something because it's in your rishus now, I don't have a chiv to give you an axe. It's this axe. We made a deal that I'll give you this axe and you are going to be responsible for it. If somehow the axe breaks, the axe isn't around, I don't have to give you another axe to replace it. There's no chiyuv on an axe. It's a kinyan in this hatchet. There was a kinyan in this hatchet. I'll give you this hatchet, and you're responsible for it. If something happens to the deal, there's no overriding chiyuv. I have to give you a replace. I have to give you a hatchet. By land, by a loan, there we're saying I have a chiyuv to pay you money. If not this money, other money. There's an overwhelming chiyuv on me to give you some money. So you give me, once I have a shibud on your property, now I have responsibility to give you money for it. But even though I have a shibud on your property, something happens to my axe, I don't have to give you an axe, I have to give you this axe. And if I change my mind before you started using it, I have a right to do that, because you never received, I never had an obligation to give you an axe. You're making a kinyan. Until you make the kinyan, you don't have rights to it. That's the way the Ketzos answers the kasha. The difference between a kinyan on a specific act, the Shach himself talks about this, but the Ketzos disagrees with his conclusion. So the difference between a specific axe, a specific hatchet, which is, that's like a kinyan. Until you make a kinyan on that hatchet, you have no rights to force me to give it to you. Two, me giving you my land or a lien on my land, where you have to in return pay me money, not any specific dollar bills, but money in general. So then, if I gave you a lien on my property, you have a responsibility to pay me. That's the way the Ketzos puts it. Dimei Baruch says a different type of chiluk on the Shulchan Aruch. He says that there's a difference between the axe and the loan. Another way to defend the Ramban. By the loan, the Ramban holds, if you have a lien on my property, so then I can force you to give me the money, because otherwise, what did I give you this lien for? The whole deal was, I give you a lien on my property, and in return, I'm going to, you have to give me the money. You have to give me the money that you promised me. That was the deal. I give you a lien, you give me the money. It's like tit for tat. I give you this, you have to give it back to me. By the hatchet, you're right. Same thing, tit for tat. I'll give you a lien on my property, you have to give me a right to use the hatchet. And you gave it to me. The hatchet was in my possession. Anytime I started chopping with it, I would have been able to. I would have been allowed to. Instead, I decided to, I'll wait till tomorrow to start using it. And he, the owner, overnight realized that he needs it. So I chose not to exercise my rights. But that was my decision. In return for the lien over my property, in case anything goes wrong with the hatchet, I had the hatchet in my possession with the ability to use it. The next day, when you cancel the agreement, so then the lien goes off, and we had a deal. We had a deal worked out yesterday. Was you had a lien on my property, I had the right to use your hatchet. Today, the deal's off. I can no longer use your hatchet. You no longer have a lien on my property. By the loan, if you cancel the loan before I get the money, what did my lien accomplish? You had a lien on my property, and I had nothing in return. You had the money in your possession. You, at that point, you had an obligation to give me the money, and until you give me the money, the deal has not been consummated. That's the way the Rebbe Baruch says it. The Lamaise is, we do have this machlokas now between the Rashba and the Ramban. The Ramban says, this interesting halacha, that if you have a lien on someone's property that obligates you to go through with your deal to give them the loan, the Rashba says there is no such halacha. It's only by a sale, by a gift. Then, once it's in his possession, you can't take it back, but you can force, and once you have the possession, you can force them to pay you, but you don't have such a deal, you don't buy a loan. That'll be possible. We already saw the Shulchan Aruch possible like the Rashba. The Shach says, first he wants to say it's a Sfeika D'dinah, then he seems to be Machria like the Rashba. I have this Beis Avraham, a new Sefer, they just reprinted it, it's an old Sefer. He wants to say that the Rashba is a Das Yachin, we should go like the Ramban. I mean, it would seem that if you're faced with such a Shailah, like always ask such a Shailah, like we said in the beginning, but it would seem that you could always say Kimli, whoever has the money right now seems to have the upper hand. Right? The prospective lender can say, look, I hold like the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shach, that you can't force me to lend you the money. If somehow he had the money already, he can't take it. And I don't know if there'd be any Shaila anyway, but it would seem like he has the right to say, I want to hold that way. But that's not the end of the story.
You're just confused with how we pass again. Hasn't
Klal Yisrael accept the Shulchan Aruch as authoritative?
Yeah, we do, but when the Achronim disagree, so then, you know, like the Ketos seems to disagree, the Nesiva uh-huh. seems to disagree, so that's why, and the Beis Avram thinks that, that most are not like the Shulchan Aruch, but you're right, that's why I said, La Locha L'maisa, if you're the Malva, and it would seem that you have a good case to say, look, I'm going like Shulchan Aruch, the Rashba, the Aruch HaShulchan, and I don't have to give you the money. Okay, we'll have to see by Chosh and Mishnah how that applies.
But Achronim are sufficient to make a Kimli?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a whole Shaila, even if you're a Svaidi, is the Ramah sufficient to be a Kimli against the Mechaber? At one point, it seems like that's okay also. But that's not the end of the story. That's the good news for the lender. But does he have to pay for the loss? Right? We said the case was that you said you're going to lend me the money for my store, and because I was relying on the $50,000, I ordered all this merchandise, I purchased the property, I made a rental agreement, and now you're canceling your loan the last minute when I needed it, it's going to cost me a lot of money. So the SMA says, in a simpler case, just where the Lova had gone to the sofa and written up the shtar, the SMA brings the Lavush who holds that even though the Malva, like the Rashba said, and the Shulchan Aruch says, can change his mind, I'm not going to give you the money, but you have to pay him for his losses, because we learned a good few years ago that I didn't damage you, but this didn't cause garmi. Right, there's grama, if I just cause causative damage, then I'm not responsible to pay b'dinei adam. But if it's garmi, if it's directly from my decisions, from my advice, from my saying so, you did something that's going to cost you money because of what I said, I have to compensate you for that. So here, where the Malva told the Lova, the lender told the borrower, go to, that was the case, right? He said, go to the sofa and write the shtar and get the Adam to sign and I'm going to give you the money. So I told you to do this, and because of what I told you would cost you money, you didn't get the loan now, and now you ended up losing money, so I have to compensate you for that. That's dinner de garmi.
Can you give an example of grama so that we can learn how to distinguish between that and garmi?
A grama is where, because I didn't lend you the money, you then couldn't take the hire a cab to get to work, and that caused you a loss that you didn't get to work in time. But here, I told you, spend this money on the sofa, and I'm going to give you the loan, and that changed my mind. So I told you to make that expense.
I guess what loss are you referring to? Lost profits.
Well, here's the loss of the sofa.
Right.
So how would that translate to our case? So I think there also we'll have to translate it to direct losses where you told me I'm opening a store. So okay, I rented this store because you said you're going to give me the loan. And by the way, I want to speak out that just contributing to a Kieger, it has to be that the lender knew what you were doing. You told him I'm opening a store. He said yes, open the store, and I'm going to give you the money for it. So any cost was evolving from opening that store, which now I can't do because he didn't give me the loan. So that's what the novel would have to pay for. That's a garmi.
Any cost or any loss?
Any loss.
That's a big difference.
Well, if this cost doesn't have a loss, so then...
Right, but I mean...
If he'll get all his money back...
Sales.
No, we're talking about a loss. We're talking
future
about a loss of money.
A hesitant.
Huh?
Future sales.
Yeah, that
example,
would be even worse than a grama.
Less than
a grama. Okay, one last detail, and that is the Shach himself says, even though we're passing like the Rashba we have, and there is the Ramban Shita to deal with, and the Shach wants to say the Ramban will agree, right? The Ramban once again holds that once you gave me a lien on your property, I have an obligation to go through with my side of the deal and give you the money. The Ramban will agree, though. Suppose the Lova died, and now his son wants to take over that lien and the responsibility to take that loan. So the Mavik will say, look, I'd lend money to your father, but to you, I'm not responsible. Or he finds out, in the meantime, that this Lova, this borrower, is a bad debt, that he's going to pay back the loan. You find out that he's defaulted on past loans. You find out that he's a credit risk. So at that point, the Shach says, the lender certainly has the right to change his mind. I was going to lend you the money based on the circumstances you told me. And in fact, I heard from the Pachacha that he has said, it has been apparent that he knew that he was lending because he knew he had good credit. I was lending you the money on the basis that you had good credit. Now I find out you have bad credit. I have the right to renege on my agreement. Like that, he has the right to, even according to the Ramban. Now what's to make a difference to us? We hold like the Rashba. So Tumim says, the Nafkamina will be according to us, even though we hold according to the Rashba, that you're always allowed to change your mind, and you don't have to go through with the loan. But we just said, if it causes any damage, direct damage, garmi, you have to compensate him. But if the reason you reneged was because you found out there's something shady going on with the borrower, you found you have grounds to break it, that even according to the Ramban, you'd be allowed to break that loan, because either he died, or at least he's a bit credit risk, or something happened in the meantime that made your recovery of your money a little bit doubtful. So since you had the right to renege on the loan, therefore at that point you're no longer responsible for any damages. But the responsibility for damages is only when you exercise the Rashba sheet and say, look, I'm changing my mind, I have the right to change my mind, I didn't give you the money yet. Okay, you have the right to change your mind, but you have to pay for any damage you caused me. If even according to the Ramban you have the right to change your mind, because I found out that the deal isn't exactly the way I thought, it's like the Mecca of Toes here, it wasn't the deal that I agreed to, something changed here, the person died, or we find he's at a credit risk, so then I don't even have to pay for causative damage even direct damage that came about from this loan. So we've seen tonight that based on a lien on someone's property, according to the Ramban, there is an obligation for you to go through with your side of the deal and give the money, just like if you had purchased his property and now you made a kinyan on it, you have to pay for it. If you have a lien on his property, you also have to pay for that lien in terms of the loan that you agreed upon. The Rashba says there's no such halacha. He has his proofs. We discussed some of them. The Rashba says there's no such halacha by a sale. I can force you to pay me for something that you purchased. But because you agreed to make your property meshubah to me, that I have a lien on your property, it doesn't give me an obligation to lend you the money. And that seems to be the consensus of most poskim. However, we did see that if it causes the person a direct loss, you'll have to compensate him, just like you have to pay him for the money he spent on the sofa or any other money that is a direct result of your decision. You have to pay him, assuming, of course, once we said again, this is that you know what he was doing, you know what he needed the money for, and you agree to lend him with that knowledge in mind, and he went through with it because of you, so you have to pay him for that loss. However, we did say that if the reason you changed your mind is because the situation changed, you found out the facts weren't the way they were presented to you, or the facts changed on the ground, so now, even according to the Ramban, you're no longer obligated to go through with the deal. This wasn't the deal you agreed to, it's a different deal now. And once that's the case, you won't be responsible for any damages that occurred from it. And next week we'll talk about, is there any other grounds through which you can force someone to go through with the loan.